This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guest this morning is John DeGraff, author, filmmaker, and executive director of the Take Back Your Time campaign. John is co-author of Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic, and editor of Take Back Your Time, Fighting Overwork and Time Poverty in America. His films include Buyer Be Fair, The Promise of Product Certification, The Motherhood Manifesto, and his most recent film, What's the Economy For, Anyway? His PBS television documentaries include Beyond Organic, Escape from Affluenza, and Circle of Plenty. John DeGraff is here today to tell us about the importance of vacation time for health, environmental protection, and productivity, and the need for a paid vacation law. Welcome, John. Welcome back to the sustainability segment.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Take Back Your Time campaign?
Well, sure. We started in 2002 with the idea that Americans were really overworked in comparison to residents of other wealthy countries. We were working about 300 to 350 hours more each year, for example, than Western Europeans were working. And our view was that this long overwork, short vacations, long work weeks extended into the weekends, no paid time off for family leave, no paid time off for sick leave for many people, that all of this was really negatively impacting Americans' health, their family relationships, their bonding with friends, their community participation, and their stewardship where the environment was concerned, among other things. The stress in health, I think, was certainly really key.
What led you to focus on vacation time as an issue?
We've focused on a number of things, but we've really played a supporting role in those. We were a strong supporter of the family leave law in Washington State and of paid family leave nationally. We certainly support and encourage our members to really support the Healthy Families Act, which would provide 7 days of paid sick leave to American workers, half of whom now don't receive any paid sick days. So we've supported a number of those kind of things. We certainly support the idea of shorter working hours and see that as a really excellent solution now instead of layoffs in this time of economic downturn. But we really felt that there was nobody out there out front on this issue of vacation time, something that we've seen declining for Americans for a number of years now. And it's really quite shocking when you compare how much vacation time Americans actually take or even get when you compare that with Western Europeans. For example, we did national and state polling that found that the median amount of vacation time taken by Americans is about 1 week. I mean, it's not even the old 2 week vacation that we used to count on. It's a week or slightly over, and nearly a third of Americans last year, for example, took no paid vacation. Some 26% of them got no paid vacation, and others felt that they couldn't take what they had because of the pressure. So this compares with a median vacation time in Western Europe of normally 5 to 6 weeks and a minimum by law required after the first year on the job of 4 weeks. And that's a huge difference. People may say, well, those Europeans are slackers and we're hard workers and that's the difference. And, you know, look how much we produce and such. But the fact is we're paying a very, very high price for not taking this kind of time off. And I can certainly go into some of the prices we're paying.
What are some of the personal consequences of not taking vacations?
Well, health is a big one. Studies show that people who don't take regular vacations, for example, if they're male, are at least a third more likely to suffer from a heart attack, 21% more likely to die younger of any cause than people who regularly take vacations. For women, the stats are even worse. Women are about 50% more likely to suffer from heart disease if they don't take regular vacations. And they're also 2 to 3 times more likely to suffer from depression. Studies show that vacation time is important in staving off depression and particularly burnout for people. And burnout is a big problem in our society. We're spending now well over $300 billion a year in the economy in order to deal with the costs of burnout and stress in the workplace.
Is there an effect on family relationships?
Well, I think so. There's certainly lots of evidence that vacations are very good for families, good for family bonding, and that they are among the memories that remain strongest for adults is the memories of their childhood vacation experiences. The people who study that, family experts, really do believe that vacations have a very important positive role in strengthening families and helping them connect, especially if they go away in a way on vacation and kind of get out of the just routine everyday activities. If the vacation is spent strictly at home and doing, you know, chores and doing errands and all of these kind of things, then the effect is certainly less real.
Are there effects on the community as a whole of not taking vacations?
Well, we certainly think that people who have a little bit more energy, who have a little bit more time to figure out what's going on, are better citizens and more active in the community. Many people, in fact, who do take vacations actually take volunteer vacations where they're engaged in some sort of effort that's positive for a community or for the environment. And senior citizens, for instance, in things like elder hostels and other things, also often work on projects that are beneficial to the community. So time in general, not vacations by themselves, but more time in general is really essential. More time away from the workplace and the pressure of consumerism is necessary if we want to build communities.
Do you see a role of vacations in environmental protection?
Absolutely, for a number of reasons. Number one is that most of the well-known environmentalists, and I did the biography on PBS, for instance, of David Brower, who built the Sierra Club, founded Friends of the Earth, and the League of Conservation Voters, maybe the most prominent environmentalist of the 20th century. He attributed his interest in the environment to those vacations that his family would take him on as a young boy from Berkeley, California, up to Lake Tahoe and Yosemite when they camped out. And this was in the late teens and early 20s. And they'd go out for a couple of weeks. And it was that experience with nature that really got him interested in the environment. One of the things that we're seeing today is that children are increasingly less exposed to the natural world. Richard Louv has written a book called The Last Child in the Woods about what he calls nature deficit disorder, the fact that kids are just simply far less likely to get out in nature. If you look at things as a whole, children today spend only about half as much unstructured time outdoors as they did a generation ago. Now, this isn't all attributable to lack of vacation. Certainly a lot of it is due to video games and all the indoor kinds of things and the fear that people have of letting their kids out, even though there's hardly been a safer time in our history for kids to be outside. But part of it, Louv says, is due to the decrease in vacation time and the facts that parents don't really have the time and don't take their children out on extended camping trips and opportunities to see the natural world. So that's a big part of it. I think the other part of it is just slowing down in general, which is something that vacation allows us to do, allows us to think about different things, is something we really absolutely need to do to take care of the environment. You know, the nature just doesn't work at the pace of nanoseconds and all of that kind of thing. So it's very essential. In general, in my view, the most important single thing we can do for the environment is to begin to trade our advances in productivity for time instead of stuff. And really, there's no other way that we can ultimately become sustainable.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with John DeGraff, author, filmmaker, and executive director of the Take Back Your Time campaign. Our topic is the importance of vacation time for health, environmental protection, and productivity, and the need for a paid vacation law. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. What are the implications of employee vacations for businesses?
Well, certainly there are mixed implications, but one of them is that studies find that employees tend to be more productive when they come back from vacation. An Air New Zealand study, for example, found that after 2 weeks of vacation, employees came back and had about 30 to 40% faster reaction times on the job, and they were getting about one extra hour of quality sleep each night, which meant that they were less tired on the job and doing a better job. Now, these benefits continued for a matter of months. I mean, they don't continue forever, and you have to have vacations again. But the fact is that most companies that have provided paid vacation time have actually found that it benefits the bottom line, that they have a happier, more productive workforce. Now, there are costs, particularly early on in beginning to give vacation time that you haven't given before. You have to plan for it. You sometimes have to cross-train workers, as done in Europe, so that they can take over for each other. The main costs are in the first couple of years as companies actually prepare for the change. And we understand that. So, you know, there are some trade-offs here, but in the long run, and unfortunately we Americans don't think very much in the long run, we are always thinking about the quarter, next quarterly report. But in the long run, my view is that extended vacation time is actually a boost, a benefit to business, not a detriment. And it's seen in the fact that Europe has far larger percentage of its workers working for small businesses than we do here in the United States.
In the U.S., who gets a paid vacation and who doesn't? What are the demographics?
Well, in simple terms, the poorer you are, the less likely you are to get vacation. Certainly, race, ethnicity matter. Minorities receive, generally speaking, less vacation time. And if we look at low-income workers, some 31% of low-income workers receive no paid vacation time at all. Some 37% of women, for example, earning less than $40,000 a year, receive no paid vacation time. This was a study by the AFL-CIO. So we're really looking at this as a social justice issue, that the people at the bottom, in many cases, not only don't have other benefits, they're less likely to have health care and these kind of things. They don't have a good wage. They're sometimes working 2-3 jobs, but they don't get paid vacation time either.
Why do you think the issue of paid vacation should be addressed by a law and become a legal requirement?
We need to set a floor. We need to do this in a lot of areas. We need to level the playing field. I've heard from small business people who say, I'd really think the right thing to do is to give my employees vacation time and adequate vacation time. But if I do that in this particular economy and my competitors don't, it's tough for me. If we had even a minimum floor like 2 weeks, and I would argue for 3, but if we had even a minimum floor of 2 weeks, that would make it so that people didn't get a competitive advantage by forcing their employees to work 52 weeks out of the year. So I think that's essential. I think having a law also says that we as a country think this matters. You know, we talked for a long time about solving civil rights and all these things through voluntary action, but it didn't work. There was always this race to the bottom, always people who got around who didn't operate that way. And we needed legislation in order to start things in the right direction. And that is why 137 countries in the world and every other industrial country in the world has a law mandating vacation time.
What kind of length of vacation do these other places have?
Well, the lowest is probably Canada and Japan that have 2 weeks. But in most other industrial countries, it's at least 3 weeks. And in all European countries, it's at least 4 weeks. And there are some countries like Austria, Finland, for example, that have 6 weeks of paid vacation time by law. The French and the Swedes have 5. I think the Germans, 24 days. But this is very, very common in these countries to have well over 20 days of paid vacation time by law.
What type of paid vacation law do you suggest for the United States? What would be the key elements?
Well, I think we just need to get started. We need a minimum. I mean, my feeling would be that that minimum should be 3 weeks. And the reason I believe that is that that's the International Labor Organization standard set in 1970 and agreed upon by almost all the countries in the world signed that convention on vacation and holiday rights. The United States was, of course, the one industrial country that did not signed the ILO convention. But they did that based on some studies that showed that at least that amount of time was necessary. I think 3 weeks is important because I suspect that most Americans will spend at least one of the 3 weeks just doing errands, you know, taking a day here and a day there as they now do and doing the things that they have to catch up on. And we know that it's important for people to take a block of time. 2 weeks, preferably at least a week as a block of time in order to begin to get the benefits that vacation offers for health and for other things. And so I recommend 3 weeks. I don't think we're going to get that, quite frankly. And our polling shows that while a great majority of Americans, nearly 2/3 of Americans, would support at least a 2-week law, only about 40% would support 3 weeks or more. So, you know, I'm hoping we get something. And if we start with 2 weeks, at least we'll be going in the right direction and we'll have made the statement as a country that we understand that vacation matters.
What efforts are going on at the federal level in regard to paid vacation laws?
Well, not much so far. We've been trying to push a bill, although we do have some good news, which is that virtually exactly 2 weeks ago, our bill, which we call the Minimum Leave Protection, Family Bonding, and Personal Well-Being Act. That's a big one, but we kind of wanted to get in a lot of the things that vacation does for us. was actually discussed quite positively on the floor of the U.S. House of Representatives on March 24th. It was brought up by a congressman named Alan Grayson, who represents Orlando, Florida, which, of course, is a tourist district. He has some stake in this, but he talked about the health benefits. He quoted extensively from Take Back Your Time, mentioned our organization, quoted extensively from our website, mentioned our law. And in fact, I will be meeting with his legislative director on the 22nd of April to talk about whether we maybe can draft something. As of yet, no certainty that any of this is going to become law. There will be a huge backlash against this from the business community. I suspect that the Obama administration would like to see this happen. I think that they're personally sympathetic to this. Certainly, Michelle Obama has made it a priority that we have more work-life balance in this country. But whether they would be able to withstand the Chamber of Commerce opposition, the basically knee-jerk opposition that will come to this from business, I don't know. I frankly think that this is not in business's self-interest to oppose this. I think it would be in their self-interest to support it, to see that it's in the long run good for them. But unfortunately, that hasn't been the case in other areas. For instance, the reluctance of business to get behind a universal health care, and particularly single-payer health care, which would save all of them the burden of having to provide health care privately as businesses. It would be the best single thing that they could do for themselves to make themselves more competitive in the market, and yet they will oppose it right down the line for ideological reasons and because of ideological blinders.
I understand there is a proposal to use part of the stimulus package for a shorter work week and more vacation. Where does this proposal stand?
The proposal comes from economist Dean Baker, who runs the Center for Economic and Policy Research in Washington, D.C. What Baker proposes is that we take about $100 billion in the next round of stimulus, and there's probably going to be a next round because this one isn't going to necessarily pull us out of the situation, and that we actually use that to give businesses tax credits to spread work around, to give people fewer hours rather than laying workers off. And that would include a number of things, one of them being paid vacation, to give workers who don't currently get paid vacation time, paid vacation time. In other cases, it would be to shorten the work week or to give people sick leave and so forth. Baker believes that it's one of the most cost-effective ways that we could use stimulus money to preserve jobs and even create more jobs by doing so. And also, I think, while at the same time not sharply reducing spending, because at this point we're concerned about the levels of spending, because if they keep dropping, then the recession gets worse. So these things are kind of complicated. But Dean Baker's proposal, I think, is an excellent one. I do think he's a well-known and respected economist. He's one of the few economists who predicted both the dot-com bubble and the housing bubble, told us what was going to happen, told us what was the problem with credit derivatives and all of these kind of things. Wasn't paid much attention to then, but now he is. And I hear Dean all the time on public radio. I see him quoted in the New York Times. I mean, his ideas are starting to be taken seriously.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is John DeGraff, author, filmmaker, and executive director of the Take Back Your Time campaign. Our topic is the importance of vacation time for health, environmental protection, and productivity, and the need for a paid vacation law. You're also promoting a paid vacation law in Washington State. Would you like to say why you chose to make an effort at the state level?
Well, it's an interesting thing. We weren't getting very far at the national level, and a fellow in the Senate that I was talking to said, you know, I think what you're going to need to do is win this somewhere. Go back to a state and prove that this has political support and legs. And if you can do that, like was done with the minimum wage and the increases in the minimum wage, when so many states passed increases in the minimum wage, this led Congress to finally get enough courage to do the same fairly recently. So he said, you know, go back to your home state and work on an initiative to try to win this. So we've been exploring that. We may have an initiative. We may work to have an initiative on the ballot in 2010. We'd love to see the legislature even get involved without necessarily an initiative, but I think that that's at this point not terribly likely. But now things have flipped around again, and suddenly Congress is interested. So we're in a time of great flux. I mean, there's no question about it. And this is a strange time in which the idea of more vacation time, you have half the people saying, why now of all times, this is the worst time in the world to do this. Can't you see that we're hurting? And on the other hand, people saying, we couldn't have a better time to do this. We need to really reduce hours. We need to change our thinking. As a society, we need to come out of this crisis and use it as an opportunity to revamp our way of life in a way that's more sustainable, more healthy, and more life satisfying. So who knows how all these things are going to play out, but it's a fascinating time and a time in which people are either slamming us or loving us.
What kind of response are you getting so far to this idea of a paid vacation law?
Well, as I mentioned, I think the public generally supports it. The numbers we had nationally were 69% support, 27% opposition. That was last June, before the real economic crisis that began in September with the stock market collapse and all of that. Now, the poll we did in Washington State was in February, and that poll did find some slippage, at least if Washington would have been like the national average before. So what we're finding here in Washington State is that it's about a 60-40 split. 60% of the voters in Washington State would favor a paid vacation law of at least 2 weeks. 40% would be opposed to that. And we've seen some of the demographics for that and so forth. I think there is a little bit more fear out there now. Some people are saying, how can we even talk about that when I'm worried about keeping my job at all? Other people are saying, let's do this kind of thing and find a way to make it work, because we really need to turn this society around. We're headed in a totally unsustainable direction. We've been taken for a ride for probably nearly 30 years with the idea that the answer to everything is to cut regulations, privatize, cut taxes, do all these kind of things, let business do whatever it would like to do, ignore the rights and interests of workers, destroy the unions. This has been the policy for some 30 years, and things would then trickle down and improve the lives of all of us. Well, none of this happened. What did happen was that wealth gushed up from the bottom and the middle to the top, so that the top 1% of Americans who earned 8% of national income in 1980 were earning 23% of national income by 2008. We saw the problems with this in a whole host of things, where relative to other countries, the United States dropped precipitously in quality of life measures from 1980 to the present. Take life expectancy, for example. We were 11th in 1980. Today, we're 46th. This has simply not worked, and the deregulation allowed this enormous expansion of the financial sector, which earned about 15% of national profits in 1980 and 41% of national profits last year. Money sucked out of manufacturing, sucked out of everything, and put into this whole world of finance, and people working like crazy to invest their money there, and suddenly finding it's all collapsing on them and they have nothing. They ought to at least get some time to spend with their families and their loved ones.
What do you see as the greatest challenges to overcome in passing a paid vacation law?
I think the greatest challenge to everything in this country is the individualist mentality of Americans and the idea that the American dream is about getting rich. President Reagan, I think, said it best. For him, the dream was that America always be a country where someone would have the right to get rich. To me, that's not the American dream. To me, the American dream and the dream we ought to be thinking about is a dream that says we want a healthy population. We want people who live as long as anyone else does and are healthy into old age. We want a population where people have strong connections and relationships, where families and communities are strong, where people volunteer and take care of each other. We want a country where our environment is healthy and where we pass on to future generations something approaching what was given to us by our forebears. This, to me, is the American dream. The greatest good for the greatest number over the longest run is how Gifford Pinchot, the first director of the Forest Service, put it back in 1905. That's what I think the American dream ought to be, not about anybody's particular right just to get rich.
Would you like to say a few words about the Vacation Summit, which will take place in Seattle this summer, August 10th through 12th?
Absolutely. We are going to be convening the first of its kind National Vacation Matters Summit at Seattle University, August 10th to 12th. We will be bringing together some 300 to 400 stakeholders, including the travel industry, people from academia, recreation departments, leisure studies, sociology, people from labor, people from various other groups who have a stake really in the environmental groups, groups like the Sierra Club, that have a stake in more vacation time for Americans. And we will be talking about why it's important that we have more time off and making the comparisons with other countries and trying to figure out how we can get a national movement started all around the country that takes this issue seriously. And whether it's legislation or whether it's just educating business and employees and everyone else about the importance of vacation time, we believe we need to move forward with this.
Would you also like to say a few words about the Vacation Matters Coalition?
Well, it's simply the group of people that we're bringing together to create this conference and also to talk about some legislative proposals. Now, of course, it will be certainly my desire that we be able to go into this conference in August and say, look, there's a bill in Congress that we can all get behind, that we can tell people to write to their congresspeople about. And if that happens, of course, if we pass a national bill, then we wouldn't need a state law in Washington state. But if that doesn't happen, then I think we need to think about getting an initiative through here. And my dream would just simply be that we would get people to have a dialogue nationally about why these things matter. We just have not talked enough about priorities and what they are. We have allowed priorities to be determined for us by the whole idea that all that matters in this country is the right to be rich. And this is just, you know, morally abysmal, I think. It's just something, the result of which it looked like it was paying off for a bit when we had the late 90s and things were booming and everybody was gaining a little bit and stuff. But overall, it's been a fraud. And it's allowed some people, a few people, to get very, very rich, while the rest of folks haven't seen any gains at all. They haven't seen monetary gains, and they're actually working longer hours than they were before.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I guess the message I'd like to leave listeners with is that time is not only money. Time is maybe more important than money, and especially in a society that for a long time has been awash in money, has been awash in stuff, has been the consumer society of the world, you know, priding itself on its monster homes and its luxury tanks called Hummers and all of these kind of material accoutrements of the good life being the goods life, and has ignored the fact that what really makes us happy and satisfied and healthy and better off is good health, is good connections and relationships with family, is strong communities, is a clean and healthy environment, a natural world that we can feel comfortable in, safe workplaces, work that means something and is valuable and that contributes to society and contributes to future generations. This is really what it's all about. And it's about service. It's about gratitude. It's about passing on those values to our children, not the values that tell everybody, that tell the graduating class of Harvard that what you all want to do is end up on Wall Street. Do we want all the best minds of the country to spend their time thinking up all kinds of schemes to create crazy derivatives and credit default swaps and all kinds of things which are merely the speculation in paper and send the whole thing crashing down? Or do we want these minds to be doing things in science, in technology, in teaching, in environmental protection and stewardship, in taking care of our parks? You know, we have put our priorities in precisely the wrong place, and we have put our money in an area that has been an entire scam. And I think any American who looks hard at what has happened over the last 30 years cannot avoid seeing this.
Well, thanks so much for being here, John.
My pleasure.
We have just been speaking with John DeGraff, author, filmmaker, and executive director of the Take Back Your Time campaign. For more information, check on the web at www.righttovacation.org. Again, that's right, and then the numeral 2, vacation.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.